freedom. Praise your name. Oh, great, great you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that sweet son. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how we love that name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You brought us here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this sweet oasis that we have in you, Lord Jesus. God, that we come and you're opening up your word to us because it pleases you to feed us, Lord God. And Lord, it's the word of your grace that builds us up and gives us that inheritance, Lord God. And we're so thankful that it's believing you. It's believing you that you love us. That's what pleases you. Thank you for being such a sweet father to us. Thank you that we cry out, Abba, Father. Thank you that we know that we are loved, Lord God. And thank you that we know that nothing, 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 nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you for the Lamb that sealed it, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that Lamb in the blood. We glory in the Lamb today. We're so thankful for the cleansing blood. We're so thankful again that the love flows and continues to flow. God, open our hearts to receive your word this morning. Lord, may we magnify your Son and only him. May we just sing praises, thanks and praise and honor and glory to the wonderful, beautiful name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles today to 2 Corinthians. And we'll go into the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now, last week, I mentioned a little bit earlier, the Lord encouraged us as God. He looks upon the heart. Isn't that wonderful? Seeing souls takes care of everything. It really does. Because, see, really, God is the only one that can give you a vision of seeing a soul. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin reading from the 14th verse. And he says here, behold, the third time, this is Paul, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. You know, he's tender to him, and you can hear just in this first statement, there's some contention going on here with these folks. But he's just saying, look, I'm led of the Lord here. I'm not doing this because of me. I'm not doing this to get anything from you. I'm doing it for you. And I'm doing it because of the love of God. And he says, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. Isn't that wonderful? What a heart. For the children ought not lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And we're going to focus on this 15th verse today. And I will very gladly. Isn't that wonderful? You talk about an exceeding love that God placed in a heart. Spend and be spent for you. That means used, completely exhausted. And here it is. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's something, isn't it? See, he knew, the Lord had shown him, that that stand was going to be costly. That word and the richness of it that was coming forth would not be received by many. And matter of fact, people might even start to resent it. Can you imagine that? And these are sweet, spirit-filled Christians here he's talking to. And the third time that God has encouraged his heart. As he's got them so sweetly upon his heart to pray for. But what a statement here. And how thankful to God that he's showing us that we can be so kept and preserved in the love of God. That there's nothing more mighty than the love of God. That in the love of God and with the love of God, we're not discouraged. We overcome. There's victory in Jesus. Now, if you don't know much about the Corinthians, they were an ornery group of Christians. They just were. They're just ornery. They were so self-absorbed and so self-consumed, you'll read about them, that they were downright rude to one another. They were always trying to one-up the other. Who's more spiritual, huh? My faith's a little bit greater than yours, huh? Oh, I think I got a greater gift than you do. Let me show you. We'll go around the circle. I'm serious. Brothers and sisters, believe it or not, this kind of goes on today because it's the same flesh. It is the same flesh. Brothers and sisters, have you ever had somebody where you said, well, honey, I'm praying for you. Well, I'll tell you what, I pray just as hard for you. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'll leave that to God. But they're downright ungrateful to what the Lord was doing for them. Downright ungrateful, truly, for one another. And it's so sad when the love of God doesn't reign. And it's no wonder in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Brother Paul says, I could not speak to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. I fed you with milk and not meat, because you were not able to bear it then, and neither can you now. And I guess what's on my heart today that the Lord is so encouraged was that God would really have us meet this message in complete and absolute sincerity. That we really would. The Word of God says in many different ways to examine ourselves. That the Lord, that we would cry before Him to say, Lord, search me, as Brother David did. Search me. That we would cry out to God and really say, Lord, I do want this removed from my eye. Sincerely, God, search me today. By God's grace, brothers and sisters, He has given us a sweet message, hasn't He? A message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A message, if you can imagine, to grow up and to be the mighty sons of God. Nothing short of it. Matter of fact, to be crowned, hallelujah, as His glorious bride. But if we continue to operate as spoiled children, and I think the Corinthians are a very good example of spoiled children, thinking time and time again about ourselves and only about ourselves, it doesn't matter how much meat we have heard, it doesn't matter how much meat we can recite, if we're acting like this, brothers and sisters, it's evident we have not fed on it. Amen? Amen. God help us to receive. Now these Corinthians refused to let their fellowship only be that of the gospel of Christ. See, when the gospel of Christ is our fellowship, it's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? You think about when you've had disputes with your brother or sister in the Lord. Truly, it's because the fellowship went away from the gospel of Christ. That's where it all started. It wasn't in the gospel. It was thinking about things of me, of my thoughts of flesh, as opposed to what God wants us to fellowship in, the gospel of Christ. And do you realize that the gospel of Christ covers everything? It really does. It covers your marriage. It covers your children. It covers your friendship. It covers your enemies. Everything. It tells us everything about God's doing in us. Not the way we should, but what God can do in us if we'll yield. Isn't that wonderful? Again, I go back to, I'm so thankful however Christ is preached. I'm so grateful to God when people think about, well, what would Jesus do? Good start. But remember, Christ in me is the hope of glory. And Christ in me is the evidence of what's going to happen as by God's grace I allow Christ to reign. It's not thinking about what to do. It's, Lord, you just do it. Because even if I be otherwise minded, I know you're faithful and you'll even reveal that in my life. You'll bring me to that understanding. Just let me, by God's grace, have the desire to want it. Help me to yield, Lord Jesus. Help me to want your love to reign. See, we're studying in the Philippians about a sweet group of people that were a joy to Paul. See, this is the complete opposite in a way. Paul still loved them, and God had him spend so much time with these Corinthians. He really did. And going back and writing two letters to them, there was a burden. But it was all of the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? It wasn't Paul trying to do in this. Paul said it was evident in his heart. Shoot, I want to get back to Ephesus. I actually want to fellowship with these Philippians. But God had him there with the Corinthians. And God had him writing and thinking about these ones. There was a burden that the Spirit would not allow to let go from Paul's life. He loved these folks. God showed him the potential in their lives. God had given him this sweet message. And he wanted them to grow up into all things in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That there's a heart, praise God, and it's God's heart that wants people till we all come. See, till we all come. God has given us this message, brothers and sisters, and the supplying of the saints is so great, and this building of this inheritance in the saints, brothers and sisters, it's the word of his grace. Do you realize that? And do you realize how the word of his grace is preached? It's preached through his vessels. It's preached in testimony. It's preached just in your actions, in the things that you, by God's grace, he has you do. You don't realize how your life touches others. You don't realize by how God's grace, how important you are to the body of Christ. Amen. Is every joint, does it say? Every joint. There's a supplying going on. God help us to take our place. See, we make no mistake about this. The spiritual do restore. It is Christ that does the restoring. We understand that. But the evidence of it is through his saints. And the ones that are spiritual, brothers and sisters, they have this salve. They dwell on the lovely. They dwell on the good report. And again, the word of his grace is their speech. God, help us to be encouraging vessels. God, help us to be ones that truly would have that honey ready. Amen. It's so easy to be discouraging. We live in a world that is completely about negativity, about bringing one another down. And this isn't the pep talk, well, to get in the front of the mirror and tell you how lovely you are. That's not it at all. This is to tell you how lovely Jesus is. And this is to tell you how incredible lovely Jesus is. And matter of fact, he lives in you. And matter of fact, that is your life. It's his life. And how beautiful his life is. And how marvelous as it rains and it radiates. And you think about people saying, oh, I'd like to affect people. I'd like to touch people. I'd like to be more of an influence. Just let Christ in you be. And it'll be wonderful. And to have the satisfaction as of Jeremiah. Lord, was it even one that even heard this message, saw this testimony? Does it really matter? It's what he sees. It's what he sees. It's what he does. It's his work. It's not of me. It's him. And he's going to get it done. And all he's asked by God's grace is, son, just enjoy me. Enjoy my company. Enjoy my presence in your life. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How wonderful. It's not predicated upon what I do, whether you're going to go on with God or not. It's not. By God's grace, I pray to preach the whole counsel of God. I pray that I could be used of the Lord to influence, to encourage, to supply. Isn't that wonderful? But you know what? You can't blame me. And I can't take any credit by God's grace. Nor would I want to. Because it's the work of the Lord. Everything, every good gift is from above. And he's above all. And he is all in all. And there's no power that be but of God. And he's placed it all in his Son. Isn't that marvelous? Do you see all of that stress and responsibility? Yes, to whom much is given, much is required. But the requirement, brothers and sisters, is just to let God reign. Just to let the Lord in his power and his might. By God's grace, to live a lovely life. To live the life of Jesus Christ. And then that's it. That's all. But what could be more? And what a testimony. What wondrous conviction of standing. Stand again and having done all to stand. He brings the increase, doesn't he? You'll see it in your children's life. You'll see it in your family. You'll see it in your friends. But know this, it's the work of the Lord. Don't let guilt ride your life. By God's grace, I don't want to miss a blessing to my life. I've been blessed with all of them. I don't want to miss one. I do want to bless my brothers and sisters with Christ in me. I don't want to miss that. But you can never use it as an excuse of why you were defeated to go on with God because of a brother or a sister in the Lord, because of a pastor or something of that nature. Oh no, we are without excuse. Amen. Now, you can see what a battle it was for Paul here. Sure, he was treated horribly at the hand of sinners. We know that, shoot. And he learned to delight in it. He learned to be happy, praise God. But his greatest hurt, brothers and sisters, and as you read the Spirit, because this is the Spirit speaking here. This isn't Paul. This is the love of God. This is God's word. But his greatest hurt was the injustices done by the brethren. And it wasn't that he was feeling bad for himself. He was sad for them. He was burdened. He hurt. It was his body, believe it or not. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sure, there's a rejoicing in that wonderful body from within the body. We understand that. But we are all, praise God, part of that wonderful mystical body of Christ. And you do want your brothers and sisters to grow up into Him. You do want them to go on with the Lord. And when ones are being really just ornery and not taking the love of God and not wanting to go on with it, it's not in any judgment or condemnation. It hurts your heart. It could be so much better. Matter of fact, it is so much better. My goodness, step out of unbelief and start living by faith. How marvelous. And that's what we can pray for. See, they thought that they were fighting against Paul. But see, it wasn't Paul at all. It was God they were fighting against. It was the very perfect will of God. See, God wanted them to receive the depths of his gospel. Absolutely. He's got one thing in mind, that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Did you know that? That's the word of God. That's our purpose. That's his plan. Given the provision, the power, and everything for it. But that's exactly what his thought was for these folks. But I'm telling you, they just continued to fight against it. And they weren't wrestling with Paul. They were wrestling with the gospel of Christ. But see, Brother Paul here, he did not strike back. Instead, he allowed the same love, the love of God, that covered a multitude of sin, to cover all of those hurts in his life and to just keep on keeping on. So I guess this is what I ask you. How much of that, brothers and sisters, do we want? How big of a wave of the love of God do we want in our lives to truly cover those injustices and hurts? And especially from the brethren in our lives. Or is it going to be something that we just harbor bitterness? Well, I'm just going to shut that down. God help us. The encouragement of this scripture here, believe it or not, is to love on. Love on. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ, that's all he is loving on. Brothers and sisters, if we're really about winning God's best, the love never stops. It never stops. It's lovely all the time. Praise God, it's a love that never ends. It's a love that never gets up off the knee. It's a love that's always continually in prayer. It's a love that abounds in hope. It's a love truly that never gives up. It's a love that does face reality, absolutely, but the reality is that there's nothing hard for God. The reality of love is, if God be for me, who could be against me? Amen? That doesn't just apply for me. It applies for every single one of God's children. He's your father. I have two kids. I am for them just the same. How many millions does our father have? And he's for them just the same. Isn't that awesome? He does not have any favorites. He doesn't. He just has more close fellowship with some than others. But he loves his children all the same. Think about that. You know families that have gone awry because parents have chose one as opposed to the other. God help them. If you're a parent and that's going on, God help you. You love them all, and you love them all the same. And you do. It's just the way it is. That's what God's love is. There's no respecter of person. Now you think of Paul here. The enemy was trying to hurt him so. And the enemy was coming at him with the ones that he loved the most, the saints, the ones that were closest to him. Back in that first chapter, that 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, think about how this hurt Paul. Who are you, Paul? I'm of Cephas. Get out of here. Apollos is my pastor. Peter preached the word to me, and he was with Jesus. Who do you think you are? Come on now. Think about these things. Let the Lord make these alive in our lives. And I'll tell you, as I was on my knees thinking about this, the Lord just brought such a sweetness to my heart. And I commend Christ in you, but I salute you, brethren. I salute you by God's grace, how he has kept us. How he's protected us. I think about how so many of God's precious people, they play the church merry-go-round. This church this week, this church next week. I pray if you're getting something. I really do. However Christ is preached, I pray you're getting something. But see, what's happened, brothers and sisters, is we start looking at people. And we look at people because we're thinking about ourselves. And did it offend me this week? Did the pastor say what I wanted to hear this week? And it wasn't scripture that I was thinking about. How did he address me? Did he walk over here? Did he walk over there? By God's grace, please. Today, I'm not feeling well. I don't want to touch any of you. All right? No offense. I'd love to hold every one of you. So let's just get that straight today. But I'm sure I'll get a phone call. It's just the way the enemy is. So knock it off by God's grace. And then brothers and sisters in the meeting, you know, God help us to treat each other. I mean it. It does. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because it hurts the Lord. We're his family. You know, the Word of God tells us to provide things honestly in the sight of all men. We understand that. And only God could do that. And I pray that we have a testimony. But how much more so our brothers and sisters in the Lord? And if we have been wronged by our brothers and sisters in the Lord, forget about it. I'm just going to tell you as simple as it is. You forgive as Christ forgives, and he forgets. If we're harboring that, you haven't taken the victory. Do you believe God's word or not? Do you believe he saw your life before he set a star in heaven or not? Do you? Or was that an accident that brother so-and-so did this or sister this and that didn't pay me for this or whatever it may be? God help you. You should make that right. You should. I just leave it there. But God's got to deal with you in that. But if you've been wronged, don't hang it up and say, well, I'm happy in the Lord because I've been wronged. No, you're not. You're proud in yourself and you missed the whole thing. And you're defeated just as much or more so than the person that did you wrong. See, that enemy, he'll try to get at you any way that he can. Amen? And it applies to anything in our life. Love on. Just love on. Lord, love in me. I understand these things happen and sure they disappoint. But God, my goodness, you rose again. Hallelujah. This is the power of your resurrection and it's working in me. And it does work. Hallelujah. And nothing can stop it. Nothing can keep that in the grave. Praise God. Do you realize that? The power, that power lives in you. It's the only thing that is living in you. That thing that wants to be miserable and murmur and complain, that's dead. It's a lie. That ain't you. I have lost my mind in Christ. But he did. He put that out there. Become a fool for his sake. And you'll be the wisest of the wise. You'll be the most peaceful of anyone. And yes, you'll be tried in it. And I know God will try me in these things. Absolutely. If he allows the hedge to be lifted. Just as Job. And he says, have you seen my servant Jesse? Isn't that awesome to think that he thinks of you like that? He does. That's you. That's you. Man, we got company here. Yeah, it might not seem joyous. It wasn't joyous to Job. It wasn't. No. But there was a faith by the grace of God. Though he slay me. Though he slay me, will I trust him? Oh, how wonderful. Oh, he's just marvelous, isn't he? Oh, my goodness. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you something. When we cling to people as opposed to clinging to God, we're going to get defeated. You're going to get defeated. You will. When you cling to the pastor in your church, you're wrong. Don't do it. Don't do that. Don't. Clinging to pastors on TV, I'll include them. Pastors in other towns, I'll include them. Pastors that have gone to be with the Lord, I'll include them. You better give it up. Because it will eventually defeat you. See, I read in the Word of God, which is so wonderful, the manna is for today. Isn't it awesome that the manna is for today? Did you wake up this morning and maybe get a glimpse to think, you know, like those children in Israel? I was thinking about them and how sweet their faces were. You know, they were, you talk about an on resort. Untrusting, God just parted the sea, walked them across on dry ground. They're murmuring about the water and he had it coming out of a rock. And oh, now he's going to starve us to death. I'm glad that I was not God. And I'm glad you weren't either. How's that? Be a lonely sort, wouldn't we? We'd have wiped them all out. But God is love. God is love, see. But can you imagine just how sweet? Now, they didn't stay in it, did they? They got cantankerous all the time, just like we do, because that's our flesh, see. That's not being spiritual. But could you imagine those first times when they came out and they said, oh, there's the manna. God's fed us. And they're looking at one another as they were looking at the Word and seeing the family of God coming out and eating and picking it up and said, look what the Lord's done for us today. Look what the Lord's done for us today. Isn't it awesome? And we got a better thing. We got a double portion going on here. We do. Because of God. And it's not just milk, brothers and sisters. Oh, no, 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 no. I got prime rib over here. And see, with the Lord, I was thinking how I went out to eat with my dear brother. And I'm thankful to God he gave that testimony, how the Lord, you know, we can seem so physically fit, but it's God that has to keep us. And they found that blockage in his heart, 99.9%. How are you even alive? And sir, if you had a heart attack with that, you're dead. See, we learned God can keep us with a heart or without a heart. But there we were the other night, and he had already bought this dinner for us, and it was the big steakhouse. So, aren't you thankful with God? We say we call nothing unclean. We call nothing unfit. Now, I'm not going to say I'm going to tempt the Lord or that way, or tempt God, but I'm thankful to the Lord. We got fish and we got steak. We've got everything we need. And we come out together and there's nothing more beautiful than to sup with the family of God. There just isn't. I'm so grateful to God. Know that. Know that. Don't ever let the enemy to get yourself to hold yourself up in your own home and say, well, you know, I'm just going to go on with God. No, you're not. I'm not saying that you need people to go on with God. Don't go twisting that. But when God has given you a house, a home, I can't help but get emotional with my family. We come, he's so good, and we're here in the presence of our Father. And the Son, and the glory of the Son, the power of his might, running up and down the pews. Touching the people. I can see he's touched you and just pouring it on you. See it in spirit, really. Just, God, take the blinders off and let me have the heavenly. It's all I want to see. There's nothing better. When he said the much, the more, as you see that day approaching. Yes, it's for him, but it was for us. The beauty in the bride. The beauty in the wedding. I'll close it up. So what's he saying here? Love on. Love on. They may despitefully use you, but love on. Amen? You got quiet there. I didn't want to lose anybody. Love on. Brother Joseph was so sweetly an example of that, wasn't he? The closest to him, his brethren. And he didn't say it in a bad way to him. He loved them. And you knew he loved them because of his actions and reactions to them. They were all love, weren't they? Isn't that awesome? He didn't say, well, okay, I'll forgive you. You're going to have to come back here and be my slaves for a while. Oh, no. He met them just with the heart of the father to the prodigal. And he did. See, only the love of God can do that. You can't mock it. You can't fake it. It's just going to be what it is because it's the love of God. And he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. I know this. Because God is always ready. He's always ready to work on those who want to grow in his love. Amen. You want to grow in his love? You want to grow in his love? I want to grow in his love. Nothing feels better. I'll use that word. There isn't anything that feels better when you grow in the love of God. It can hurt at times, but nothing is more joyous to our hearts. Those who want to be the crown jewel diamonds, not because of anything of me, but because it's his desire. Not wanting to be used for the cutting, but the stones that want to be used in the placement of the crown. They're the ones that are willing to be still without murmuring. That receive the cuts joyfully, willingly, the sufferings together with Jesus Christ. There is a first fruit finishing going on. There's a first trump company, and they're known as the lovers. They're lovers. They're lovers. They're altogether lovely. They're full of love. They are like him. They are so fervent, effectual, filled with all the fullness of God. And who is God? God is love. That they've transformed into ones and vessels that love his appearing. You think about loving his appearing as seeing his face. Well, sure. But they love his appearing in their life now. That word appearing means the brilliance, the glory of God. They love that Jesus and only Jesus Christ is seen. Transparent, sincere. Amen. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let's just stand and worship him a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Oh, thank you for your love. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, God. Lord, we thank you again for your presence. Lord, we're so thankful that we enter in the name of Jesus. And God, you delight immediately. Thank you that now we are the sons of God. Thank you that you see us as you see your son. Thank you, Lord, that your grace has caused us to be pleasing to you today. Thank you, Lord, that you're building faith and patience. God, you're building love and glory in our lives. Because there's no glory but of you and from you. And you're the only glory there is. And Lord, help us to be vessels that are so honored and privileged and thankful and grateful to bestow the very glory of God. Thank you for your work in us. Thank you, Lord, that we realize completely and only that we are your workmanship, that God, it is you that wills and does in us of your good pleasure, that we know, Lord Jesus, that there's nothing of us that we could bring, Lord, except a surrendered vessel that says, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Thank you for that wondrous love. We praise you, we honor you, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.